we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Oh, good morning, Brevard County. We want to thank you once again for tuning in to the Refresh radio program right here on 91.5 FM WMIE in Cocoa, Florida. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. And today it is my privilege to tell you a little bit about Wyrick Air. They are air conditioning and electrical specialist, and they're based right here in Rockledge, Florida, and go all throughout Brevard County from the southern tip to the northern tip, one coast to the inland border, and they can address whatever your electrical issues might be or heating issues or air conditioning issues. You know, in Florida, we can have those days where you need the heater of a morning and you need the air conditioning by afternoon and then need the heater again at night. And so if your unit is struggling a little bit, I encourage you to give them a call, Wyrick Air Heat and Electric, at 632-9538, 321-632-9538. These companies that I recommend here on the radio program, they are companies that I deal with on a church basis and a personal basis. I know them very, very well, and they will treat you wonderfully. They are licensed and bonded and insured, and I encourage you to give them a call, 321-632-9538, Wyrick Air, if they can be a blessing to you. Listen, you don't want to lose your cool, or you don't want to blow your top because of too much or a lack of heat this winter, and I encourage you to give them a call. And I don't know about you, but here in just about a week, the days are going to start getting longer again, and that's a good thing. By the time I'm getting home from church now, I don't even have enough daylight left to walk the dog and mow the grass at the same time. So I'm looking forward to a little longer days coming in the days ahead. So with that being said, we want to take you this morning to the Word of God. This is my last opportunity to invite you out to church this Sunday for our Christmas banquet. If you're interested in coming, we do ask you to RSVP. There's nothing worse than going to a Christmas feast and it turning into a Christmas fast. If you would like to come and celebrate with us our Christmas banquet, we would love to have you come and join us and be a part of that. Some of you support the radio program financially, and we are truly grateful for that. There are a few people who do listen to the radio, and they send in donations. There's some that are on a regular basis, and some are on an intermittent basis whenever the Lord lays it upon your heart. We're greatly appreciative of that, because it is not a money-making endeavor for Merritt Assembly of God. It is a ministry, and it does cost money. And so we want to say thank you. But just because I've never met your face does not mean that I do not appreciate you. We run into people from time to time that mention that they listen to the program, and for that we are very, very grateful, and pray that the Word of God is being a blessing to you. So that's coming up this week. Next Wednesday night will be our Kids Crafty Christmas celebration on Wednesday night. There is going to be some, I think, Christmas cookies and cocoa and a craft and games and stuff like that. And then a week from Sunday on Christmas Eve morning, our children's church is, after we receive our BGMC offering, they're going to be having their Christmas celebration, and then we're going to be having a Christmas Eve communion service, 6 p.m. on Christmas Eve, and we look forward to that. Our family has a Christmas Eve tradition, and We celebrate communion. My kids have some things that they've put in that they like to do every year. And this year it's extra special for me because I get to celebrate with my parents being in town. They're spending some several weeks with us here in the winter months. We really do relish that. Because we just don't get to spend as much time with them as we would like being so far away. So, hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. If you're listening this morning, I love you. So, with that being said, let's get to Psalm 12 today. We're going to be in Psalms, and then we're also going to stretch over into Proverbs today. We're going to touch on a related topic there, Psalm 12, and then we're also going to be in Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. And so let's begin with Psalm 12, and verse number 1 says this. This is the Psalm of David. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases, for the faithful disappear from among the sons of men. They speak idly, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips and a double heart they speak. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaks proud things, who have said with our tongue we will prevail, our lips are our own, who is Lord over us. For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now I will arise, says Lord, I will set him in the safety for which he yearns. The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. You shall keep them, O Lord. You shall preserve them from generation to this generation forever. The wicked prowl on every side when vileness is exalted among the sons of men. Whenever I read Psalms like this, I realize that the problems that we face here in America are not new circumstances. That God's got experience in dealing with deteriorating cultures. And so I love this. And in fact, in my notes here, I've got this written. Help! Help! And that's what David says. He says, help, Lord, for the godly man ceases, and the faithful disappear from among the sons of men. If we saw food disappearing off of our grocery store shelves, we would realize there's a food crisis. If we realized that there was no water, we would realize that we were in a famine. A few years ago, our community began to demonstrate what it was like when employment was difficult to come by because there were so many jobs that were lost and people had to be uprooted and move to other areas of the country many times just to be able to feed their families. And we recognized what a crisis all of those things are. If your power line goes down, you realize that all of a sudden it's a pretty important thing that you can have power. For some people, if they lose internet for a little bit of time, that is a crisis. All of those things we look at and we say, wow, those are absolutely essential. And if there's a problem that arises in any of those arenas, we cry out for help, whether it's to the power company or to the water company. I mean, that was the thing with Hurricane Irma this year that was so eye-opening to me was, you know, I've lived without power before. I never lived without water before. And all of a sudden, you realized how important that was. But here in Psalm chapter 12, or the 12th Psalm, David describes a crisis that requires God's help. And he says the crisis is the disappearing godly person and the disappearing faithful person. When faithfulness begins to disappear, it is a crisis in the land. And David says, we need God's help. We need to remedy this right now. Could I implore you to join David and join me in crying out and saying, God, would you raise up faithful men and faithful women in this community? We need more faithful people. We need more godly people. It is not that we need more millionaires. It is not that we need more billionaires. It is not that we need more of this or more of that. What we need is more faithfulness in Brevard County. It doesn't matter how many employees you've got. If all of them are unfaithful, your business is sunk. And like I said on an earlier broadcast, it's a spiritual issue. And in America right now, we have people proclaiming with their lips one thing, living with their lives another thing. And that's not faithfulness. It's not a sound way to live. And as a result of that, we see our society drifting farther and farther away from the faithfulness that God would have us to be. And it is a crisis in the land. It is a crisis in the land. In Proverbs chapter 20 and verse number 6, it says this, most men will proclaim each his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man? The righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Look at what it says there in verse number 6. Who can find a faithful man? When it comes to society, we tend to be all messed up when, as far as our priorities, when it comes to relationships that we are looking for. So many times we are looking for that which is pleasing to the eyes or pleasing to the flesh or the boastful pride of life that the scripture talks about. Instead of really being on the lookout for people who are faithful, not on the lookout in a wary manner, being on the lookout for them so that we can say, thank God there's a faithful witness in Brevard County. So there are people who are always looking for the more demonstrative personality. And I've always wanted to encourage my kids and the young people at church. I said, look, you want to be on the lookout for a faithful person, not an unfaithful person. Because an unfaithful person is going to manifest unfaithfulness, and with that is going to come heartache. But when faithful people walk in their integrity, like it talks about here in Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 7, it says his children are blessed after him. Faithfulness sets you up for the blessing and the favor of God. So I highly, highly encourage you, be on the lookout for faithful people. I don't really care how gifted a person is if they're unfaithful, because I realize that that's not going to end well. And I will tell you this, if I can find a faithful person, I recognize that God's got giftings that he's placed inside of them, and those giftings are going to be a blessing to our church and to our community. And so what I'm trying to get across in this fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness has a much larger manifestation than just a marriage covenant. Faithfulness has to do with every aspect of our life. If you've got employees, you want them to be faithful to show up for work. You want them to be faithful to do their job. You want them to be faithful in dealing with your customers. You want them to be faithful in the finances. You want them to be faithful with the supplies. You want to be them to be faithful with the vision that God has given to you. We need faithful servants in the house of the Lord. We need faithful ambassadors. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that, but let's turn back a little bit to Psalm 78. We touched on one aspect of Psalm 78 here earlier in the week, but I want to take you and point out to you another aspect of faithfulness that is talked about here as well. Verse number 32, in spite of this, they still sinned and did not believe in his wondrous works. Therefore, their days he consumed in futility and their years in fear. When he slew them, then they sought him, and they returned and sought earnestly for God. Then they remembered that God was their rock and the Most High God, their Redeemer. Nevertheless, they flattered him with their mouth and they lied to him with their tongue, for their heart was not steadfast with him, nor were they faithful in his covenant, but he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and did not destroy them. Yet many a time he turned his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. Okay, so it says there in verse number 37 that there was a time when the people that God was dealing with, that they would lie to God, they would flatter him with their mouth, but there was a heart that was not steadfast, and they were not faithful in his covenant. So as I was preparing to come in for the broadcast today, I wanted to communicate this. If a person will not be faithful to their covenant with God, it would be a mistake to assume that they're going to be faithful to a covenant that they have with you. There are so many people out there that are looking for loopholes around this element of faithfulness. And yet, if you were unfaithful to them, oh my word, it would be explosive. There is such a double standard when it comes to this concept of faithfulness. They don't want to demonstrate faithfulness, but yet they insist on faithfulness to them. And folks, I want you to know that is a frustrating combination. That's a person that it's going to be a real challenge to be around for a long, long time. So through the years, I've actually got a record of some things that were spoken over us through the years. And one of those things was faithfulness. I would probably say that being faithful has got to be one of my core values. It's something that's absolutely essential. So when people come in and they make all sorts of verbal accolades about themselves, I need to tell them about how I was raised. And that was when I was called to be in the ministry very early, but I didn't really understand what that calling was going to entail. It was going to entail a pursuit of that calling. Instead of just waiting around for it to fall into my lap, I needed to be prepared for when that door did open. And I thank a scholarship reviewer who helped bring that to my attention. And so as a result of a scholarship that I did not get, I got something much more valuable, and that was I got a swift kick in the rear end to get on to the pursuit of what God had called me to do. So let me tell you what happened. After I had that interview with the scholarship reviewer, I went home and I filled out my application for Bible college. I went home and I filled out my application for a missions trip that our church youth group was taking. And I got accepted on both of those. And it wasn't too long after that the pastor of our church, it was quite a large church for those days. He said, "We need someone who will teach 4th, 5th, and 6th grade boys." Now, nobody told me that the most challenging class to teach was 4th, 5th, and 6th grade boys. But I went up to the pastor and I said, I would like to help out in the area of teaching. And he said, "Okay, well, thank you very much." And for 3 months, I never heard anything from him. Now, this is a man who's still very dear to my heart, even to this day. And for 3 months, I didn't hear anything. And one day, I got a phone call from someone and said, "Pastor wants to know if you would be willing to teach 4th, 5th, and 6th grade boys." And I said, "Absolutely." And for me, that was just the beginning. So it wasn't the day that I went and said, "Hey, I want to teach." It was several months later than that. And I got to thinking about that, and I realized that what he was doing was he was watching to see if my faithfulness was just lip service or if my faithfulness meant, you know, I'm committed to this and I'm going to teach this. And so I try to be faithful to the covenants because I want to listen. And it's not just a covenant. I view my ministry at Merit Assembly of God as being a covenant ministry. It's a committed ministry. I've entered into financial covenants and I honor those to the point that I review them ever so often just to make sure that I am in full compliance with my covenant. I am not looking for a way out that's not going to cost me as much. What would the kingdom look like if we had the mindset of David, who said, "I'm not going to offer to the Lord something that costs me nothing. I'm not looking for a bargain. I'm looking to invest in something that has significant eternal value." And so rest assured that if you and I encounter people whose heart is not in it, this probably is one of the most painful lessons that I have ever had to learn. And that was this, that there are going to be times where your heart is committed to something or someone, and yet their heart is not going to be as fully engaged in the process as what yours is. And I'm not talking about family situations. I'm talking about work situations. I'm talking about church situations, all sorts of things, peer relationships. And so if you're going to be in business, or if you're going to enter into a work assignment together, you need to make sure that you are equally yoked and that both parties are going to be faithful to carry out their part. The good news is this: if you have fallen short, and I've fallen short of the being faithful to God and to our covenant with God, but you want that to change, the good news is in Psalm 78, verse number 38. "But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity, did not destroy them. Yes, many a time he turned his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath." Aren't you thankful today that God is faithful to be compassionate? He's faithful to deal with us with the Holy Spirit, to convict us and bring to light areas of our life that are out of compliance, if you will. At church, we have some inspections that take place every year. We have fire extinguisher inspections. We have a fire marshal inspection. We have hood system inspections. We have pest control inspections, things that come. And if there's a problem, those inspections are there so that the problems can be resolved. The Holy Spirit is faithful to move in our heart and in our life so that if there's anything out of order, that he will bring it to our attention so that we can say, God, I don't want to be out of compliance. I don't want to be unfaithful in any area of my life. Do whatever is necessary so that I stay faithful to you and faithful to your covenant. Amen. Would you agree that there are too few faithful men in the church? You know, there was a time where there weren't that many men in the church. So I'm thankful for men in the church. I'm thankful for faithful women in the church. I'm thankful for faithful young people. One of the prime subject matters that we try and instill into our young people is the concept of being faithful to God, faithful to his covenant, faithful to his house, faithful to his calling, and faithful to the purpose that God has called them to be. There are too few. And today, if you recognize what I do, that as I do, that there's a problem with that area of faithfulness, let's go back to what we talked about in Psalm chapter 12 and say this: help, Lord. The godly man ceases and the faithful are disappearing from among the sons of men. And just like he's done in the past, God will turn the tide and he will send revival and he will bring about faithfulness in our communities once again. Father, this morning we cry out and we say, help, help. For the godly are ceasing, the faithful are disappearing. And God, I pray in Jesus' name that you would raise up a generation, raise up men who are faithful, women who are faithful, that you would raise up business people who are faithful, that you would raise up politicians who are faithful, that you would raise up judges who are faithful. God, we're crying out, would you help Brevard County to eliminate the crisis of faithfulness? We'll see you next week right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Be mad for my king. Nothing, Lord, is hindering the passion in my soul.